Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, the NCAA softball Super Regionals continue tonight on ESPN and ESPN Plus. The 3-seed Florida State hosting Georgia at 8 Eastern, then the 7-seed Washington hosting Louisiana. Winners of those series will advance to the College World Series. Time for Best of the Week. I have seen the future, and the future is this.
Back and better than ever. Where the hell is Graziano?
I'm Dan Graziano in for Greeny.
Hey,
they're going to make a movie about this.
We will touch screen a squirrel at Yankee Stadium if it's the last thing we do.
Squirrel!
This is supposed to be a serious sports show.
Yeah, like what?
You strike me as someone who would have enjoyed the Jersey Shore. I don't know.
That's me and Mike, the situation.
Woo! Don't ever take this dude into a fight with you.
Squirrel!
This couldn't be going better.
Who said this?
Close your mouth. I just got to say, it just bugs me. It should be fewer, not more or less. It should be fewer. Fewer, not less. Be grammatically correct. I'm really trying to push this. Have been for years. Nobody's listening.
These guys are so scared of a squirrel.
Squirrel!
Don't ever bring those two into the foxhole.
Okay, that's hilarious.
This guy.
I got nothing.
I can't pretend that I would look any tougher, cooler.
Yeah, it's like, exactly.
That was everything we hoped it would be and more.
Squirrel!
All right, all kidding aside, outstanding. Who among us would not panic a little if a squirrel just jumped up unexpectedly?
Of all the things, though, in this city, like that's what
we've all seen.
I mean,
but if that thing jump on you and it gets on your neck, it's like we've seen movies like that. You know what I mean?
It's not a Jersey squirrel. This is a Bronx squirrel.
A little different.
He's seen things that you don't even want to know
city,
about.
A little different.
I'm just gonna sit behind my man Bart and have him take care of it.
Hey, man.
With
Sandy
that
squirrel.
We welcome you to another hour of Get Up. We are jam packed today. We're live at the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. Timmy Legler is part of the crew as well. Stephen A. Smith in this hour on the way, talking about, among other things, the game of the night last night. Alan Hahn, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and the Celtics hosting the Heat. Another closeout opportunity for Miami, playing without Gabe Vincent with the ankle sprain. And maybe they missed him one way or another. The theme of the night, Alan, turnovers from Miami and Boston turning it into points.
Yeah, actually 27 of them, and that's what they've been doing. They have flipped the script on Miami. They're playing their game, and they're playing it better, including knocking down the three ball.
Great ball movement there, and that's Jason Tatum knocking one down. Miami 16 turnovers in this game, and then Jason Tatum. Oh, it opens like the Red Sea.
Oh,
he throws it out. Are you serious? Celtics by 15. Final seconds of the first now. The lead is still big. Derek White had a huge night.
Yeah, way downtown, bang, like Mike Green would say. 3 of 3 from three-point range, and that was the story of this game.
Celtics up 15 after one, and they would really never look back. There's Jaylen Brown going the other way. The Heat had 10 of those turnovers in the first half. The Celtics have a 17-point lead, and here we are a few minutes later, late in the half. It's Marcus Smart. Celtics by 17 at the break, and then the third quarter, more Derek White. He made 6 threes.
Yeah, he was, again, as you have 4 starters with 20 points or more. He had 24. Big story of the game was him knocking down threes, everybody knocking down threes, and of course, Jason Tatum being Jason Tatum.
He controlled the game. 21 points, 8 rebounds, 11 assists. Here's one of those on the feed to Marcus Smart. Celtics win 110-97. They have life headed to game 6. Jaylen Brown, what's the mentality now?
Our back has been against the wall. Obviously, we didn't imagine being in this position, being down 3-0. But, you know, when adversity hits, you get to see like what a team is really made of, and I think now it's a series.
Well, there's ignorant belief. We do believe at all times that, you know, if we still have a chance, everybody's counting us out. You know, the way we're supposed to win, we're supposed to be done. Relax. You know, anything can happen.
So once again, not everyone was counting them out. If you've been watching this show, you know that I have been saying all week long that this graphic is going to change once and forevermore. Instead of the 0 and 150, it's going to be 1 and 150, just as a 16 would eventually knock off a 1 in the NCAA tournament. Eventually, the better team was going to fall down 3-0 in a playoff series and come back to win. And that's what's happening here. And Legs, I feel like you're kind of on my – I'm working on Alan Hahn here. He's going to have to say Greeny was right. I feel like you're kind of coming over to my side because the first 3 games of this series made very little sense to me. The last two have looked a lot more like what I think it should look like. That's not to disrespect Miami. Butler is phenomenal. Spoelstra is an incredible coach. But the Celtics are the best team in the league when they play like it. They just don't always play like it.
Yeah, listen, look, I thought Boston would win the series going in. I certainly didn't think it was going to go this way. And when they got down 3-0, just mathematically, you're thinking, are they going to be able to do this 4 nights in a row? Or can Miami have just 1 game in the next 4 in which they outplay Boston? And then we're facing that situation now. It's going to have to happen in a Game 6. But this is that rare situation, Greeny, and this is what you've been alluding to, where a team that was clearly better in the regular season falls down 3-0, right? This is a 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, and they are healthy. It's not like you can point to a key guy being out right now. They've got everybody at their disposal, and yet they fell down 3-0. So in that situation, if there ever are conditions that are right for something like this to happen, you are looking at it right now. And Boston, on both ends of the floor, has resembled the team that was the best team in the NBA in the first 2.5 months of the year. And let's see what Miami can do now to disrupt that.
All right. So, Alan, I feel like I'm winning you over to my side. I know you don't want to say the words Greeny was right. I know.
I don't want to jinx it for you. How about that?
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Right now, I'm not asking you about anything that has happened. If I said to you right now, you have to pick who's going to win this series, who would you pick?
I'm still picking Miami.
You think they win it tomorrow night?
Odds, the odds are in their favor just when you consider they are going home and that it's just 1 game they have to win, right? So the odds are still slightly, of course, in their favor, although ESPN's Basketball Power Index has it at 74% Celtics winning
right
on the road. But I'm with you, and you were feeling the momentum switch, especially after they get the 1 win. And I started texting around friends of mine who are assistant coaches, scouts, front office people. Like, are you feeling it too? That's literally what I asked everybody. Like, it's one thing for us to see it.
Right.
But how about those who were with the trained eye? What are you seeing? Some of the reactions I got. At some point, one scout said, talent has to eventually beat Miami.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. The other one was, they are 200% playing better defense. Like, flip the switch.
Right.
They have become their team. That's what they are now playing as the Celtics. And then last but not least is my own thoughts, too, that have been echoed by others. The Celtics' toughest opponent over the last 2 years has been the Celtics.
Yep.
They have made it, and their own players have said this, they have made it difficult for themselves. So when you ask about belief, they have that belief because it's not like blind. Like, I know he called it, was it ignorant belief, right?
Yes.
But it's not, because they know what they're capable of. They know all they have to do is win 2 more games. They know they can. That's why you can believe that this can happen.
So let me go back to Legs, because he's got some tape, and no one does these tapes better than he does. Legler, I know that there are 2 things you're going to tell us Miami has to do much better if they, the Heat, are going to close this thing out tomorrow night at home. What are they?
Yeah, all right. Well, first of all, let's talk about the 3-point shooting. We have a lot in the way that this has flipped over these last couple of games, but specifically why this is happening. And here's what I'm talking about earlier, where these blitzes are not affecting Tatum, right? So he can still see. And by his ability to see the baseline, you freeze that backline defender. That means Bam Adebayo on the weak side's got to cover 2 guys. And it's all predicated on Tatum really not feeling any pressure when he comes off the ball screen. So that's first. Secondly, it's just effort. Look, Jason Tatum's not in a hurry, but when he sees Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo jogging, he's going to advance the ball. And now 3 guys are behind it, which allows Marcus Smart to drive the ball hard at Strus. And Jaylen Brown gets the easiest basket he gets all night. And that was early third quarter. It's a 17-point game. There is plenty of time to still make a run in that game. But you cannot get out-hustled up the floor in a situation that's just an innocuous walk-it-up possession that leads to a dunk in transition. So that is strictly effort, and I can't wait until Eric Spoelstra goes over that play with his team in a film session, because that is not even close to good enough to be able to compete against a team like Boston when you're trying to make up a deficit. And they might find themselves in that situation in Game 6. So the 3-point shooting, specifically how you guard Boston to not allow some of these clean looks, and then just flat out effort. Game six has to be skin on the floor, all hands on deck. We have to play harder than Boston.
Yeah. To repeat a point that you made earlier, the Celtics are in theory, not in theory, the Celtics are the better team, and they're the healthier team. The Heat were playing last night without another important piece in Gabe Vincent, but as these playoffs have gone along, they've lost Tyler Hero, they've lost Victor Oladipo. All these are the reasons that we sort of felt like this momentum was possible, and now here it comes, and the Celtics go on the road where, frankly, they've been better than they've been at home anyway in the last two postseasons, so I don't think that where this game is being played is all that significant. Legler, what will you be watching for at the very beginning tomorrow night? Let's give the fans something to be looking for. The very beginning of the game. Because last night's game, the tone was set in the first quarter.
Yes.
Was set in the first, like, 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. You could see what was going to happen. What are you watching for at the very beginning tomorrow night that will tell you which way this thing is going to go?
I think first for me is going to be Jimmy Butler's mindset to start the game. And you know, he is a guy that really predicates, almost premeditates, how he's going to attack early in the game offensively. Sometimes he likes the game, let the game come to him a little bit and be a little bit more casual at the approach and sort of you see how they're guarding things and get other guys involved. I think this is one of those games he has to come out and he has to make sure he's in the mindset of I am going to get to my spots and put a lot of pressure on Boston and maybe try to get to the line early. Look for that mid-range jumper. I just think when he plays well offensively early, it seems to affect their entire team. There is a different energy about them. There will be a different energy in the response in that building if they see their best player has it going early in the game. And then just limit the clean looks that you give Boston early. Let some of these guys get into a great rhythm, which I thought that they did in game five.
Alan, final thought.
Yeah, the way Miami plays is a very physical style, and it can wear you down to play that way. And so maybe they've dialed it back a little bit. But legs, 100%, that's what we're looking at, because 10 drives is all that Jimmy Butler had in this game last night. 10. He's averaged 20 drives in the first four games of the series. That's what he does. He gets into the paint. He attacks you. He gets his shoulder under your armpit, draws easy fouls. Didn't do that in this game. Was that defense, or was that, as Legg said, him not being as aggressive as he needs to be? Home game, desperation now for Miami. Now the pressure's on them. Have to win at home. Jimmy Butler, playoff Jimmy, has to show up.
Look, I mean, so much, I'm not making any excuses. He's a great player. But so much is dependent on him. Like, yes. You know what I mean? Like, they're asking him to carry them every single night.
With spirit, too.
At some point, in every way. All right, we'll have much more on this as we go. And Stephen A. will join the party as we continue as well. Are the Celtics going to continue to stay alive? Stephen A. with his thoughts on that and the West and everything else live in our studio in about 20 minutes. Plus, next, did you hear what Russell Wilson had to say about himself? Is he playing for his Hall of Fame legacy next? We're talking about it. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Back on Get Up, wake up call time. Heat Celtics, Kevin Harlan, take it away.
Works down there by Caleb Martin.
Hard screen. Look at that. Put in by Tatum. Timeout, Miami.
We've talked about it all morning long. Tatum, one of four Celtics with 20 or more last night. First time all season they had that many 20-point scorers in a game. Boston forcing a game six, which will be tomorrow night. Stephen A. Smith live in our studio in 15 minutes with his thoughts on all of the basketball. Meanwhile, we have thoughts on the football and on the most important calf in the history of civilization. Aaron Rodgers was a limited participant in the Jets OTAs yesterday after a minor calf strain during conditioning kept him out of practice earlier in the week. Yesterday, he was on with our buddy Adam Schein on Mad Dog Radio with an update. Here's what he said.
You know, I watch Get Up. I love Mike Greenberg. That's my guy. I thought he was going to have a heart attack on television on Wednesday. Very concerned about your calf. What can you tell America, Jets Nation, Mike Greenberg? How's the calf? You okay?
Yeah, just tell him I'll just relax a little bit. I had a little stiffness, a little tightness, and just decided it wasn't worth it to push it at all. But I'll be back out there pretty soon.
Oh, thank God. I mean, I can't live like this. Take me instead. I mean, how many times have I got to say it? He can have my calf. He can have whatever he wants.
The kids.
All is well.
Stacey,
I've already renamed
the ancient history.
Yes. My daughter, Erin, just came home to go to the Taylor Swift concert tonight. So I mean, you know, we've got, and her brother, Rogers, will be home soon as well. Like, I mean, I've done everything that I can. He's fine, right? He's fine. Everything is good. Everything is great. It's better than good. Everything is great.
It is great. And it's not just him being on the field. It literally is him behind the scenes, what he's able to do in offensive meeting rooms, raising the sense of urgency and commitment in OTAs, correcting guys for things they don't do right, and praising guys for things they do well. That is something the Jets haven't had at the QB position, that leadership, that knowledge, in a very long time. So it's all sunny and bright.
And it's super meaningful, right? I mean, what it is obviously reminiscent of in very recent memory is what Brady did when he went down to Tampa. He did it, remember, that was during COVID. So those guys are working out in high school parks or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And here's Rodgers, and he's there every single day, and that stuff matters a lot.
It matters tremendously, and chemistry matters, and it's a real thing, and it's about being able to hold your players accountable and having the respect but also the confidence to say, I can call you out, and listen, you can call me out when I'm here as well. And the fact that, you know, the difference between good and great is really, 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 really small, Greeny. And the fact that he's there showing them how to go from good to great, you know, how to take the next step. Right, the devil's in the details, right? And some of those things that they're doing right now is going to be the difference between them winning a game on the last second drive and not winning the game because of the nonverbal communication that you get when you go and have these conversations in a slow-down setting.
Bart makes a great point because the juxtaposition of the 2022 Aaron Rodgers not being in Green Bay, we saw that Packer offense get better and better each month, Greeny. They didn't make the playoffs because I will go back to that decision of him not being there.
Right.
Now it becomes a force multiplier. The Garrett Wilsons of the world, the Breece Halls, it's the nuances that they're learning. And candidly, it's a lot of things you're not even seeing when they're on the field. It's eating together. It's walkthroughs.
Yeah.
It's all those things matter. And in the AFC this year, the margins are really, really small.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, if he needs a calf, I'll do whatever I can and anything else. So far, so good on that front. Let's talk about another veteran quarterback who changed teams not so long ago. And that one went very badly. The Broncos gave up a ton to get Russell Wilson last year. And, of course, it was just a complete disaster. Now they doubled down on Sean Payton to try and right the ship in Denver. Russ, all smiles and optimism at OTAs this week. Here's what he had to say.
Well, one, had the best offseason of my life, and these guys, the team bonding, everybody that's putting in the work, it's been amazing. Just the work ethic, the locker room, everybody's really tight. I feel great. You know, I feel lean and mean, ready to go, and focused.
Why are you laughing at that, Bartholomew?
I mean, when you're struggling, you get older, the two words you always hear, greatest shape of my life, right?
And, you know, that's good. That's four words, but that's okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Close enough. I got a social degree. Thanks a lot. You know what I mean? But when you think about it, right, you know, Russell Wilson is playing for his future, right? Because Sean Payton didn't bring him over. So if he doesn't, if Sean Payton can't fix you this year, what's going to be his legacy, but what's going to be his future? Now, they can't get out of his contract in 2 years, but they can get out of it in three. They can start making plans to move on. The unfortunate truth about Russell Wilson is the fact that he's in the toughest conference in football.
Right.
So he's the third best quarterback in his division. So he can play better, but that still may not be enough.
But I understand that. But that stuff he can't control. How about the stuff he can control? Is he going to be much better this year than he was a year ago?
Greedy, let me take you behind the curtains. The first meeting in Denver, I worked for Coach Parcells in 1997 with the New York Jets. Sean Payton worked for Bill Parcells. Here's exactly what he said. Fellas, I go by what I see. The best players will play. Russell Wilson isn't fighting for his legacy. He's fighting for his job. He could care about a salary cap charge, dead money. The best players will play. They will draft his replacement if he doesn't do everything he says from day one. If you go back to his press conference, Sean Payton talked about there will be no outside coaches, mentors in the building.
Yeah.
He is the new sheriff in
town.
That's right. And he is beholden to no one, including Russell Wilson's guaranteed money.
That's really interesting because, look, I think that the question that came up and came out, we talked about it a million times in here on Wednesdays all through the football season. Is this just is it a bad year? Or is it a sign that maybe it's kind of almost over for Russell one way or another? We're going to find out now.
So even the question of Russ's Hall of Fame legacy, like, was he a lock for the Hall of Fame before last season? No. And then last year was a complete disaster. So I just want to see Russell and this offense get back to playing 500 football. Like, the Broncos haven't been 500 since 2016. Mm. Like, that is how bad this team has been. And you spend all that money, all that draft capital, move all these players to get this guy. And now we're talking about how much longer is Russell actually going to be in Denver? We don't know because there are too many variables right now.
But here's the question I want to ask. Because, yes, I agree with all of those things that you're saying. And all those things might be true for almost every team in the AFC because it is just that level of loaded. So maybe this is the one unique circumstance where you can't necessarily judge whether it worked or not by the one loss record. At the end of the day, we'll know it when we see it. Is he going to be great again? Russell Wilson was, at minimum, very good.
Right. We just want him to get back to good.
Well, will he?
He can't be worse.
To answer your question, right, he understands what the big problem was. Russell Wilson at his best was his ability to step up and step out of the pocket, extend plays with his body. Not that he was one of these super athletic guys, but he's a guy that had tremendous, you know, pocket awareness and movement. I saw a guy that lost his fast twitch last year, and if that remains to be the case, I think it's a failed experiment. I don't think he can get back to being that elite player.
And Greeny, you just asked the right question about greatness. Greatness is about making those around you better. If they beat Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, then he's great. I think that bar is so high that he's just trying to keep the ball in the fairway and keep his job. Mm-hmm. I think the expectations are massively lower.
Well, and further than that, when you think of Sean Payton, and look, he might be able to design an offense for anybody, but you think about what they did with Drew Brees, and that was the opposite of what Drew Brees did, right? We always knew exactly where
Balls
Drew Brees was
time.
Going
Balls
to be standing. Is that what the offense is going to look like? Can Russell Wilson do that?
Well, I think that's what Sean Payton wants to do. I don't know if that's ever been a big part of Russell Wilson's game,
is getting that
back foot and being able to get the ball out on time and allowing his playmakers to make it. So it's going to have to be the perfect marriage where Russell Wilson's going to have to do something that very few veteran players do. And that's learn a new trick at an old age.
And he needs to adapt to Sean Payton. Like, you
that's
can't.
Right.
Yes, they spent all this capital to get him here. But now it's not just Russell's running things. It's now Sean Payton's running things. And he has to adapt to what the coach wants.
He may take the ball out of his hands.
Yeah. And I'm just telling you, when you hire new coaches in this situation, in the interview, Sean Payton's going to say two things. We will do everything we can to make Russell Wilson successful. And I didn't bring him in. So if it doesn't work,
abandon
that's not me.
Right.
That's right. So, hey, we're going to make him work or die trying, but if it doesn't,
That deal, that's ancient history. That's a sunk cost.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I will say is it is the owners who decided to pay him, though, right? And so they're the only ones whose
vote matters more. But they need to sell tickets. But at this point, if Russell Wilson has a season like he has last year, they're going to start losing money. Yeah. When you become bad for business, you got to go.
That's about to become a Nuggets town.
Roll back prices at Walmart.
Watch out, Denver. The Broncos, you've owned that city an awful long time. Here come the Nuggets, Nikola Jokic and company on their way to the NBA Finals, where they might just meet the Celtics. Coming up, Celtics pride on display in Boston last night. Are they about to rewrite history? Is Miami in trouble? Stephen A. Smith live in our studio answering that question and more next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Everybody's counting us out. We're supposed to be done. Relax. Anything can happen.
Tatum gets past Lowry to the rim. Throws it down.
Boston is doing absolutely everything right.
Jason Tatum throws it down.
He's taking control of the basketball game. His intention is bad. He's getting to the cup.
When adversity hits, you get to see like what a team is really made of, and you just set the tone from the jump. You got to be able to do that into the next game.
We're always going to stay positive. We will win this series. We'll just have to close it out at home.
Oh, how the plot has thickened in the Eastern Conference Finals. Miami is a slight favorite to win the series at Caesars Sportsbook, and I mean slight. The Celtics are a road favorite for tomorrow night's Game 6. You see, it's a 2.5-point number. That number was 3 when we woke up this morning. And how about this? Boston actually has shorter odds to win the title than Miami does. So Vegas is all over Boston. Our analytics are all over Boston. Let's see if Stephen A. Smith is all over Boston, yeah. The one and only, has made his way in here. And you just said to me a minute ago as we were getting ready to come on, the Heat are in some trouble here, aren't they?
They're in a world of trouble. There's no question about it. Obviously, they didn't have Gabe Vincent last night, who obviously has played exceptionally well in this series. But you got to take into account your starting backcourt of Kyle Lowry and Max Strus combined to score 8 points on 3 of 10 shooting. That ain't going to get it done, but that's not their real problem. When you look at how Boston has intensified their defense, particularly in closeout games, their defense elevates to another level. I think they're giving up like 100.3 points per game in terms of per 100 possessions. That is elite defense. Make no mistake about it. And then you take into account you got Marcus Smart, you got Derek White, you got Jaylen Brown combining to score 68 points on 68% shooting from 3, on 58% shooting from the field. They are coming because their backs are against the wall, and in closeout games over the last 2 seasons, they're 7-1. Mm-hmm. The only time they lost was in the finals to the Golden State Warriors. I don't see Steph Curry on the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. I don't see Klay Thompson on the Miami Heat. I don't see anybody like that. They're going to probably go through Bam Adebayo and get him involved because he's had his way with Boston when they make him a focus offensively in Miami. But they are in a world of trouble. Game 6 is an absolute must-win. The pressure is all on the Miami Heat when you consider the fact fact that 149 people have tried, 149 teams have failed to overcome an 0-3 deficit.
Yeah.
And for Miami to be in a position where they're up 3-0, clearly when it was against a better Boston team, top to bottom talent-wise, you put yourself in that position and then you go to South Beach tomorrow night, you lose that game, you got to come back to face Jason Tatum in a game 7 in Boston. Good luck with that. The Miami Heat have to win game 6 tomorrow night in South Beach. I wish I wasn't so busy because I'd fly there.
I know, I'm with you. Stephen A. is still hoping that that's where we'll spend the next couple of weeks,
yes.
One way or the other.
Yes, it is.
But here's the thing. When we had our series that also went to 3-0.
Yeah.
And I think our feeling was all, look, the Lakers are just losing to a better team. The Nuggets are just better than they are. The Lakers fought like hell, and they just got beat by a better team. This one never made sense to me because the Celtics are the better team. And as Legler keeps saying this morning with me, they're not hurt. Sometimes when the better team gets a bunch of injuries, they fall behind. So it feels to me like order is being restored here. How do you explain the Celtics, to your point, only seeming to rise when their backs are
against
the wall?
Well, the fact of the matter is that, for the first 3 games or so, Mazzulla spent the time getting out coached by Eric Spoelstra before he really, really intensified and elevated their level of defense to offset what Spoelstra was throwing at them. They have problems sporadically with the zone that Spoelstra throws up in there, so you got to take that in consideration. Jaylen Brown was not shooting the ball effectively. Marcus Smart appeared to be a shell of himself. Mazzulla, in my opinion, made a mistake when he kept starting Al Horford and kept bringing Rob Williams III off the bench and not making him an active component in things because of his ability to disrupt defensively. All of that went out the window over the last 2 games. The Boston Celtics, the reigning Eastern Conference champions, seem to have shown up and reminded everybody, wait a minute, this is how we win basketball games. Yeah, we got 2 stars. Yeah, we got 2 dudes that can drop 40 on you in a blink of an eye. We got all of that. But what we really, really have is a collective roster that can go out there and shut you down. Think about this about the Boston Celtics, because people don't appreciate this enough. They don't really have to double you. Who can't guard? Malcolm Brogdon can guard. Marcus Smart can guard. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown can guard. Al Horford and Robert Williams III, they can guard. Derek White can guard. They've got a team where they don't have to double you. They can be in your face and potentially lock you down. They could switch. It still doesn't matter. Most teams in the NBA really have to double you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They don't. And because they don't, it makes things very, very interesting now, because Miami, again, we looked at them entering the series, and they have the inferior roster. Got a bunch of undrafted players, Caleb Martin, Strus, of course, guys like that, Gabe Vincent. You're looking at them saying, where the hell did these guys come from? And you found a way to make the most out of it. But there does come a point in time in the game of basketball where you're reminded of just who the hell you are. There are levels to this, and you're not on it. Boston has shown that over the last 2 games. Now Miami is going to be on their home court, and they've got an opportunity to say, oh, yes, we are those dudes. But if they don't, and they got to come back to Boston for a game 7, all I could say is that they'll need our prayers.
Yeah, look, the last time that the Celtics had a game 7 on their home floor, it was just a couple of weeks ago, Jason Tatum scored 51 when they knocked out Philly. So we'll see which team advances to play Denver in the finals, and wherever that goes, we will be there with NBA Countdown. Let me go back to some other thing with you here.
Sure.
I felt like I'm going to do the Anthony Davis first for the group in the control room.
Yeah.
Because I felt like you over here the last couple of days, because I got J.J. Redick yelling at me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm talking about Anthony Davis in a certain way that I feel like he has not lived up to what he is capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And JJ just went off on me
the
way he does on your show on First Take.
No, the way he tries, but go ahead. Way he tries.
Well, I don't fight back as well as you do, I guess. But what are the right things to say about Anthony Davis, his current state, he's 30 years old, mm-hmm. his current standing mm-hmm. as an NBA superstar, mm-hmm. and what the Lakers should be thinking
about. First thing, I think we have to lament the state of affairs involving J.J. Redick. I mean, he is an elite basketball mind and analyst, was a sharp shooter on the NBA level, does a great job for us calling games, but the anger, the attitude, smile a little bit more. Calm down, J.J. Redick. Life is good. You got a beautiful family. You got a beautiful career. You're thriving. Smile more. Uh-huh. That's what I would say. But to speak directly about Anthony Davis in all seriousness, here's the bottom line. His availability is consistently questionable. It's not his skill. See, Anthony Davis and his daddy and everybody that loves him so much, they point to his greatness as a player. Not only do we all know it, we've never debated it. What we've questioned was his availability. Anthony Davis is one of those rare players that has two different ways of not showing up. He either doesn't show up in consistent games, or he doesn't show up at all. Like, meaning absent. Yeah. He's either hurt, or he shows up and every other game plays like he's hurt. That is his problem. And so the questions about his ability strictly involve his availability. And when you are LeBron James and you are 38 going on 39 years of age and you have 8 years on this man, and this is the dude that you pushed for to trade for, and y'all won a championship together in all likelihood because you had that four-month hiatus, so you didn't have to worry about Anthony Davis not being available for games. And for the most part, he's been available for the postseason throughout his career.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, those 4 months that you would have had to play had there not been the bubble, the bottom line is people are going to bring into question your durability. Anthony Davis, to me, here's the bottom line, and he's not going to like this. I don't give a damn. I love him, but I don't care. What are you doing with your body in the offseason to get ready for the season? There's a difference between getting ready and staying ready. My man Bart Scott taught me that many, many times over the years. Getting ready and staying ready. LeBron stays ready. Anthony Davis gets ready. And it could be game. Go back to the first week of the season and go all fast forward all the way to the conference finals. Even the first week of the season, he's looking like he's breathing heavy after a few minutes. It's always the case. And so I don't know if he's got the Lamar Odom syndrome where he's eating Skittles and Twizzlers and all of that stuff, driving the late, great Kobe Bryant crazy, God rest his soul, or something else that he's doing. But he is not in peak condition. That is a fact. And that is the issue with Anthony Davis. I don't care what JJ or anybody else says. Watch him and you will see. You're looking at him and saying, damn, he could be in better shape. He does look like a dude that has a difficult time running around the track. It's just a fact.
For sure. And that will lead to the one last question I want to ask you.
Yeah.
Which is, do they need to add another big player to that team? And the one who immediately jumps to mind, of course, is the only one who was sitting closer to the court the other night than you were. And that's Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you this offseason?
It does not make sense to me from the standpoint of Kyrie's history, but it does make sense to me in this regard. You know Kyrie, you know Anthony Davis is going to miss games. You know LeBron James is at a point in time in his career where he's going to miss games. Anything that you can do to make sure you have two of those players on the court at the same time, while giving somebody else a break for the week or 2 weeks or whatever the case may be, whatever facilitates that is what you can do. What you can't have is two of the three constantly out. But if two of the three can be on the court and you interchange those parts and giving each other a breather throughout the season, yes, it does work. The ability of Kyrie Irving is not to be questioned. He is a superstar talent in this game, and offensively, he is exactly what the Lakers need. No question about that. But availability is always a question mark. And by the way, before I get on out of here, respectfully to Kyrie Irving, who doesn't want us talking about him, don't play basketball. We talk about basketball. Nobody's talking about his personal life. Nobody's talking about the tweets from months ago. Nobody's talking about all the things that he's gotten himself involved with headline-wise or whatever. Kyrie Irving is a good dude that's smarter than people give him credit for and all of that other stuff. But I do think it's utterly ridiculous for him to be telling people, don't listen to them. Well, why wouldn't they listen to us? We're just talking basketball. We're prognosticating about where you could potentially go.
Yeah.
Nobody says they know or anything like that. And if you don't want us to talk about you as a basketball player, quit. Because we're going to talk about you.
Or don't sit literally in the most conspicuous seat at the
game.
That
was provided, by the way. That was provided, by the way, by the Lakers. You don't get those tickets on your own. You get it because the Lakers facilitate you having those tickets. It's not an accident. So you know what? People are saying 1 + 1 = 2, and Kyrie Irving seems to be offended by us saying 1 + 1 = 2. It is not disrespectful to talk about you, Kyrie Irving, a superstar basketball talent. It is not disrespectful to talk about you playing basketball. That's all anybody was talking about. Where could Kyrie go?
Yeah.
Could it be Golden State? Could he stay in Dallas? Could he end up in Phoenix? That's a crime now? Come on, bro. we're talking about you respectfully as a great basketball player and where you could go because potentially you could shift the balance of power. Only him seems to be somebody that would take offense to that. That makes no sense.
The great Stephen A. Smith, you will see him in 19 minutes on First Take, and then I will see you in either Boston or Denver next Thursday.
We'll know Saturday night which city we're in, not Monday. We'll know Saturday night.
The great Stephen A. Thank you, Stephen A. As always, we'll see you later. Much more as we continue here. After a Boston three party, the Celtic comeback very much on the way. We'll see if we can convince Bartholomew Scott that NBA history is about to be rewritten. And we got a little sneaky Josh working today. And this one's going to be for legs. The Nuggets and Nikola Jokic are waiting on the winner of the East. Jokic leads the league in triple-doubles. He is the favorite right now to win Finals MVP. Who was the last player to do both of those in a single season? You'll find out next. Get up on ESPN.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, here we go, Tim Legler. This is kind of a complex question, so I'm going to make it pretty clear. Who was the last player to lead the NBA in triple-doubles during the season and be named Finals MVP in the same year?
All right, so it seems like I'm being set up here to go with a guy like LeBron James, who has some Finals MVPs and obviously gets his fair share of triple-doubles. But I feel like that's maybe too obvious. So I'm going to go back a ways and say, since this question came up, maybe it's incredibly rare. And I'm going to go back to Magic Johnson in 87.
I love that you named the player and the year. And your thinking was correct, but believe it or not, the answer is Michael Jordan.
I thought about MJ too, but he didn't get a ton of triple doubles, like, you know, relative to some of these other guys.
Well, let's show you just how rare. He had two, and that tied for the most in the league that season. That shows you just how rare an accomplishment triple doubles used to be. Now we have guys averaging them, and Nikola Jokic is making a 30-point triple double look like sort of a normal night, wow, at the office. Legs, that's a good guess. It was a very tough question. Let me bring the group in here, and I wanted to get Bartholomew Scott in on this conversation as well, because he loves the hoops and he's itching to do it on the radio, the two of you guys every single day and everything else. You just heard Stephen A. Smith talking about the possibility of the Lakers adding Kyrie Irving. I want to take from everybody. Legs, I'll start with you. Kyrie Irving to the Lakers this offseason, you like it or no?
I do like it. And look, I'm not a person that's going to typically endorse, you know, that Kyrie Irving in a lot of situations maybe being that piece that's the difference maker. And it's not about his talent. And we all know what he's capable of. And he's a massive difference maker because of his talent. It's more about, you know, his psyche and fitting in. And I just look at it like this. The Lakers desperately need another guy that can generate their offense to give LeBron James a little bit of a rest. I mean, at this stage of LeBron James' career, if the Lakers are a true contender, he should probably be more in that 20-10 type of category, not a guy that's got to give you 35 and 40-point scoring nights. So Kyrie makes sense because he fits that bill. And also, look, he had his greatest success riding shotgun with LeBron James. He understands what that universe feels like. He navigated that in Cleveland. So I think it would make sense in this case for the Lakers to add Kyrie.
All right, give me a little Bart and Han on this. Kyrie Irving to the Lakers, go.
Yeah, no, it would be a mistake. First of all, what it would do is kind of let you more bring more drama back to the Lakers where they had finally been a stabilized franchise. Rob Pelinka already said that they like what they've got and they want to run it back for the most part. A change like that would suggest that there's other forces at play here.
Allen, I couldn't disagree with you more. You talk about, you know, you have to be able to have a third scorer. You talk about somebody that can help. And listen, you always have guys like this. There's been personalities like this all along. You talk about Dennis Rodman, Ron Artest. These are guys that can, you know, that may be a little different, but if you put them in the right place, in the right environment, they can be very beneficial for you. And where else are they going to go? D'Lo was a major,
disappointment
in what they were trying to do.
You couldn't put him on the floor.
How about the difference here is the fact that Dennis Rodman was at least available?
Listen, if you love something, Allen, if you love something, let it go. If it comes back, it's yours. If it doesn't, it never was.
7 years later.
Kyrie's coming back. He appreciates LeBrick now.
LeBrick. All right, let me go to the next one here. And that, you know, I'm going to run short on time. So let me skip all the way to the end of it here. Let me go, Cindy, our director extraordinaire. Let me go directly to the picks. I have been on this set from the moment I got back from L.A., telling you the Celtics were going to win this series. And there they are, and Legler's on my side. Like, Timmy.
Legs, no!
Take me through this. How are the Celtics going to do what no one in history has ever done before?
Here's the thing, all right? If the Miami Heat are in a one-possession game in this game six, I think they'll win it if it's a really close game down the stretch. I think Boston, you know, if they're in that, they could probably be up 10, 12, 15 points with 5 minutes to go. I just think they are looking across at a team that across the board, they're saying, we're better, we're deeper, we're more complete on both ends. Miami, in these last two games, has unleashed this three-point shooting barrage on the part of the Boston Celtics, and there is just this confidence level right now that Boston has. It's obviously not out of the question Miami wins this game. They're not winning a game seven, so it comes down to what happens on Saturday. And I just feel like, and I rarely feel this way when a team, you know, obviously goes up 3-0. At some point you figure they're going to get a game. I don't know, though. Boston right now looks like a team that absolutely believes with certainty that they are better. If they just go out and play their game with intensity, they're going to win.
Martin Hahn.
What is this American Pie? You know, that one time at Bandcamp. It hasn't happened in history for a reason. And I think that, listen, it takes a tremendous amount of energy to have a comeback, you know, to when you're down by three games. I think Jimmy Buckets figures it out. And I think Spoelstra's going to adjust to the adjustment that Mazzulla did. And his levels to this is Spoelstra's at the top of the food chain when it comes to coaching.
I have trust issues. I don't trust the Celtics. They don't trust themselves. No one in Boston trusts the Celtics. You are expecting them to now continue to make threes. That's it. That's it. That's all that's going to happen. Do they make 15 threes? Do they shoot 40%? Because that makes them play better defense. Do you trust the Celtics when this whole playoff, including last year, you didn't know what you were going to get? They are the box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going
to
get.
Let me go back to my original thesis on this, Legs, because I started saying this several days ago. And I will cite the great Michael Wilbon. So we were sitting doing postgame after game three of the Western Conference Finals in Los Angeles when Denver came in and beat them. And he said, there comes a point in every series where both teams know who's better.
Right.
This one, the Eastern Conference Finals, went to 3-0, but that point did not come. There was no moment in time in which the Celtics felt they were better or in which any of us felt they were better, that the Heat were better than them, Tim. So it seemed to me order could still be restored, and that's what's going to happen. Final thought, Timmy Legs, a few seconds, go.
Well, I'll say this. There's one group of people that don't believe that Boston's better, and that's that group in the Miami Heat locker room. They'll never believe that, and they've got the right guy, you know, managing this in Eric Spoelstra. But I just think, ultimately, we all know Boston is a better team, and right now they have found their best version of themselves.
I love it. I agree with it completely, and this is not to diminish. Spoelstra's incredible. Yep. Butler, incredible. The mere fact they are here is incredible. Legs, outstanding day. Thank you. We'll wrap it up shortly, and then First Take comes up next. Will the Celtics win this series? What would it mean if the Heat were to lose? First Take, Molly, Stephen A., Big Perk, and more. Top of the hour here on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
I have seen the future, and the future is this.
Back and better than ever.
Where the hell is Graziano?
I'm Dan Graziano in for Greeny.
Hey, Graziano.
They're going to make a movie about this.
We will touch screen a squirrel at Yankee Stadium if it's the last thing we do.
Squirrel!
This is supposed to be a serious sports show.
Yeah, like what?
You strike me as someone who would have enjoyed the Jersey Shore. I don't know.
That's me and Mike, the situation.
Woo! Don't ever take this dude into a fight with you.
Squirrel!
This couldn't be going better.
Who said this?
Close your mouth.
I just got to say, it just bugs me. It should be fewer, not more or less. It should be fewer. Fewer, not less. Be grammatically correct. I'm really trying to push this. Have been for years. Nobody's listening.
These guys are so scared of a squirrel.
Squirrel!
Don't ever bring those two into the foxhole.
Okay, that's hilarious.
This guy. I got nothing.
I can't pretend that I would look any tougher, cooler.
Yeah, it's like, exactly.
That was everything we hoped it would be and more.
Squirrel!
All right, everyone, are looking forward to your big holiday weekend, Kmart?
Yeah.
If anyone was going to have fun, I feel like it would be you.
It's not going to be me. No, I shut it down.
It's going to be me. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. First Take now.